Boker Tov, and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shiurim and Daf Yomi. We are now on Ketubot Daf Lamed Amud Bet. In the middle of our discussion of the approach of Rav Nachmuni Ben Hakana, who maintained that Karet, just as Mitat Beit Din, includes, or shall we say, exempts you from any lesser liability that you incurred in the same act. Similarly with Karet, Abaye claimed that his proof was from common use of the word ason to describe a human deliberate act and an act of heaven. And now we will see another approach, and that is Rava. Rava Amar Tama de Rechunim and Akana Mahacha. And he quotes two psukim in a row, which deal with the reaction of the Rono Shel Olam if the people do not take care of a molech worshipper in their midst. Ha'alem ya'alimu amaretz thy name, in ha'isha hu v'tzitom izaro la'molech. If they hide their eyes and do not properly take care of him, and which would mean, of course, executing him, then v'samti ani panai ba'isha hu v'mishpachto v'ichvati oto, then I will cut him off. Now here, unlike Abaye, who used the generic term ason to just talk about a heavenly act, here the Torah specifically points us to karet, which is a specific kind of heavenly punishment, and does not include all of them. What does Rava say about this? Amra Torah, karet shalik, mitah shalachem. My karet is parallel to your mitah, meaning, if you don't take care of yours, I'll do it my way. And the two are now put on a par. Ma mitah shalachem patarunat tashlumin. Just like when you execute somebody, that person is exempt from any lesser financial obligation that occurred as part of the same act. Af karet shalik, patarunat tashlumin. Good. So that's Rava's support for Mechuni Menachana's position. Now, Ma'ika ben Rava Labaye, if all we have is Mashmaut Dorshin, meaning which psukim we get it from, right, we could answer that, but if we can find a more serious distinction between their approaches, that would be helpful. Ika ben Ahuzar Shachal Truma. We have to remember that a non-Kohen eating Truma is liable for a punishment called Mitah Bidei Shamayim, which is another heavenly death, whether it means you died in an earlier age or something else, but it's not the same as karet. It's distinct from karet. Okay, so that would mean Abaye patur. Abaye will say is patur because, as far as Abaye is concerned, any sort of heavenly punishment because of the word ason is parallel to mitah. Ularava chayav. According to Rava, you're chayav because only karet is equal to mitah bidei shamayim. Now let's take a look at this case for a second. And by the way, this question will occupy the rest of our attention the rest of this podcast. Labaya patur? Why would anybody, even Abaye, say you're patur in a case where a non-Kohen ate truma? After all, what are the two obligations? There's the ritual liability of mitah for a non-Kohen eating truma, and then there's the financial theft from the Kohanim of eating truma. Agrees that if you steal chaylev, remember, eating chaylev is karet. If you steal chaylev from someone else and eat it, you're chayav both karet and for paying for the chaylev. Because after all, when you stole it from him, you're chayav for gneva. And it's only when you ate it later on in the privacy of your own home, we assume, that the Yisur of Chelev kicks in. In other words, Rechunim and Akana does not say any time that over the course of a day or of a week or with the same object, you violate serious and less serious things. The less serious ones do not obtain because they are exempted by the greater ones. No, he says only for the same act. If I pick up the Chelev from your house when you're not looking and I walk out with it, that's when Gneva happens. When I put it in my mouth, that's when the Karet for eating Chelev happens. So how could Abaye say that if a Zari Truma, he would be patur? After all, let's take a look. Amad Me'ina Du Agbe Kanye, after all, when you picked up the chel of your chay, you kone it, and therefore your chayv is a ganav, it's chayv enough, shal avi adu achil, and you only chayav mitab karet, when you eat it. So achanami Me'ina Du Agbe Kanye, so now go to the Zari Shachal Truma. When you picked up the Truma that was, let's say, belonged to a Kohen, then you were konet, and you're already chayev as a ganav. Chayev enough shelo havei ado achilat, but the chiyuv of mitah bidei shamayim only happens when you eat it, which means that Abaye would have to agree that you're chayav Not because he says mitav de shemayim is not the same as karet, but because in this particular case there's no way to have them be simultaneous. No, what's the case here is that somebody else took some truma and shoved it into you, the non-Kohen's mouth. So self kelim galase kanye, still, the minute that you chew it, you're already calling it as a gazlan, because you already made a shinui in it, and now it's yours and now you owe money. But you're only chayav once you digest it. Chayav the ritual. So the answer is, so we're going to come up with a more remarkable possibility, which is that your friend shoved it all the way into your down your esophagus. So heichidami, let's figure out what's going on. Either masiladura, if the guy can actually somehow get it back up and get it out of his system, so mehadur, then he has to get it out. Ilo masiladura, mami chayev. But if he can't, then why is he chayev? He's sitting there, a guy shoves some truma into his mouth all the way down, and he can't get it back out. Why would he be chayev at all? So we're talking about a case where he could get it back out, but it would be very, very difficult. So in a situation like that, the chiyuvim come at the same time. It's one act. At the same time that the geneva happens, which is when he decides not to put himself through all that effort and try to spit it up. And that's also when the chiyuv of achila comes. Good. So that's one answer to say in this very, very remarkable case. That's when Abaye indeed would say you're patur because it's simultaneous, and Rav would say you're chayav because even though it's simultaneous, midam de shemayim is not the same as karet. Now, Rav Papa Amar, he has a simple solution. Your friend took some of the Kohen's truma, or he himself is a Kohen, and he took truma wine and he shoved it into your mouth, in which case, it's not possible to get it back out in any sort of state that's worth anything, and therefore the geneva, as long as you held on to it, the geneva and the achila happens simultaneously. Good. Now, Rav Ashi has an even simpler solution. Bazar she'achal truma mishalo. We're not talking about where you stole it from a kohen. You separated truma from your own crop, and the truma is sitting there in your area, and you ate it. So now the only thing that you're chayav for here is mitav bidei shemayim for eating truma. Where's the financial liability? The answer is v'karash yirayin shechavero. In the same moment that you did it, although it's a totally separate act, and here we'll find a unique position of Rav Ashi, you also tore somebody else's garment. In other words, there's somebody standing there with you, and you, as you ate your own truma, as you did that, the same moment you also tore somebody else's garment and became chayav financially. Now, let's take a look at that. Rav Ashi, let's take a look at Rashi. Rav Ashi holds, and I put this in a note, that that in that circumstance where you in the same moment do two acts towards two different people, and towards one the result is a chiyuv mita, and towards the other it is a financial chiyuv, nonetheless you're patur, but that's a position that only he holds. Now let's look back at the earlier case we discussed. Good, so let's take a look. It sounds like this position of Rav Chista, his claim about Rav Chista, this is at odds with Rabbi Avin. He says as follows. You take an arrow and you throw it exactly 4 amot, from the beginning of 4 to the end of 4, exactly 4 amot in Rishut Rabim, which means you'll only be chayav for carrying when it gets to its final destination at 4, and on the way it tore some fancy clothes, it caused some damage. I literally tore some fancy clothes. The idea is it caused some damage. He says, patur. Why are you patur? Shakirat sarach hanachai. After all, when you first picked it up, that is not the chiyuv. The chiyuv only happens when it reaches its destination, and the picking up the arrow at the beginning was to get it to its destination. In other words, and this is the critical difference, according to Rav Chista, you look at each action in its own moment. According to Rabbi Avin, you look at an action at the moment of its fulfillment, or the fulfillment of its purpose. Why did I pick this thing up? So Rav Chista, I don't care why I picked it up. When I picked it up, that's the moment of Geneva. And according to Rabbi Avin, I picked it up in order to get it to a destination. Therefore, that's the only moment that counts. And since when it gets to the destination, it also causes damage, the chiyuv for Hotzah and Shabbos, the carrying Dalat Amot for Shuta Rabim, which is also true if you throw something galaramot, happens simultaneously in Rabbi Avin's configuration, happens simultaneously with the chiyuv of Shabbat and of Mamonot, both of them together. Good, so it sounds like they are at odds. Let's see if they're really at odds. After all, in the case of the chalev, when you picked up the chalev, it was to eat it, so they should be simultaneous. Why would a chiz to say, Mechunyim and Akana would say, you are chayav, because they are asynchronous. The answer is as follows. Hachi hashta. Let's examine. Hatam, if shalanocha v'lakira. In the case of Karen, or the case of the arrow, it's impossible to have the end result, which is for it to fall and hit the financial liability target, the clothes, without picking it up in the beginning. So therefore, the picking up in the beginning is a necessary, it's a prereq in order to get to the final goal. But that's not true with eating somebody else's chelev. You could eat the chelev without picking it up. In other words, you could violate the ritual violation without necessarily violating the financial liability of Geneva. How would that be? If you wanted to, you could lean over and eat the stuff right where it is, right off the table. Another difference is, in the case of the arrow, you can't retract it. So when you send it off, it's more reasonable to look at the end moment as being significant, because you can't retract it. But here, in the case of picking up the guy's chelev, you could at any point stop, think, and do tshuva and put it down. Now, ma'ikar ben ha'lishna, what is the difference between these two statements of distinction? Remember, we saw Rav Chista claim and Rav Chunim Akana that if you steal somebody else's chelev and eat it, you're chayav, because they happen at differentiated moments. We thought that is at odds with Rabbi Avin's ruling about throwing the arrow and hitting a financial liability at the end of the Dalet Amot, in which case he says you're patur. So one explanation was that it is in Shabbat, in the case of Shabbat, it's impossible to get to the end goal without the first step. Whereas in the case of the chalev, you could eat it without picking it up. The other approach is that one is retractable, one is not retractable. So ma'ikar ben ha'lishna l'lishna, what is a difference between these two different statements of distinction? If you carry a knife, and on the way the knife is out and it causes some damage. According to the first statement of distinction, which is that you cannot have hanacha b'la'kira, that's true whether you're throwing it or walking it. Or walking, you can never get to your end goal without first picking it up and walking. Plus, halachically, your hanacha is meaningless unless there was an akira at the very beginning. But according to the second statement, here you could retract it. You could just stop walking, because it hasn't been sent off on its own. But either way, we have defended Rav Chista against the challenge from Rabbi Avin, saying Rav Chista could agree with Rabbi Avin, because his case is not the same. So now let's look at Rabbi Avin again. Gufam Rabbi Avin, Azorei Chetz, V'tchilat Arba, L'sof Arba, V'zachar V'shorayim, Mihilach, L'chato Patur, Shiret Zorach HaNochahi. That's the statement. Just to clarify a term, Akira literally means picking up or uprooting. And within carrying on Shabbat, and something discussed at length in the first parak and the 10th and 11th parak of Shabbat, is the notion of wherever you first pick an item up from, whether it be from the table or from your pocket or from the ground or whatever it is, that's called Akira. Placing it in the other reshut or after Dalet Amot, somewhere where it comes to rest, is called Hanacha. And as we'll see in a little while, that Hanacha could even be in the same place that it's been the whole time, on your back or in your hand. Now, Meitei Rabbi Birabai. So he challenges this ruling of Rabbi Avin. Agonev kis b'Shabbat. If someone steals a money pouch, let's say, on Shabbat, chayav. Why? Shekvani tchayev, there's two issues here. There's hotza'a, carrying the thing out, and geneva. Shekvani tchayev, b'geneva, kodesh yavod, yisuskila. After all, you're chayav in geneva. From the minute you picked it up, you're only chayev for Shabbat when you took it out of the house. Now, hayam agarerviot, said agarerviot, said, let's say you were dragging it out. Patur, washer, yisur Shabbat, b'geneva, bayin kachad, because then they come simultaneously. Because you're dragging it, dragging, it's only when you get out of the fellow's property that you violate simultaneously Geneva and Shabbat. Because if you picked it up in his property, that's when the Geneva kicks in. But we're going to see how it's not so simple that the minute you drag it out, you're chayav on neva. We'll look at that in a few moments. And parenthetically, we ask, v'amai, why would it be that in the resha, that if you pick up the keys inside the house and then carry it out, you're chayav because the two moments are differentiated? Kanami lema hagvat sarachotzai. Why don't we say, just like with the arrow, that picking up the keys, which is the geneva, is for purposes of taking it out. The answer is hachamayaskin. So now we're going to come to a stranger who came. You picked it up really to hide it in that house. In other words, you picked it up to steal it, but not intended to chal shabbos. Then you changed your mind after you had it in your hand to walk out. Now you're chayav in the geneva independently when you picked it up, because that's when you intended to steal it, with no intent to carry. Then you changed your mind and carried out, so they're really two differentiated actions. Chayavim mechayv, parenthetically, since when are you chayav in a circumstance like that, just in Hilchot Shabbat in general? Yomar Simon, Amar Rabbi Ami, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Hamefanecha, Fatsimi Zavid Vazavid. Let's say you're moving things around the house. Nachalayim Votzian, and after you've got something in your hand, you say, you know what, I'll put this outside. Patur, even if outside is Rishu Rabbi or Patur, Shalaitak, you're Rabbi Shalvi Shalom Lachach. Because when you first picked it up, it wasn't to take it outside, it was to move it around the house. In other words, in order to be chayav rahotza'ah for carrying something outside, it has to be the case that when you picked up the item at the beginning, that was with intent to take it outside. Not that you picked it up to move it around the house and then changed your mind. In order, the akira and the hanacha have to be connected with each other. So therefore, in such a case, you would not be chayav at all if what we're saying in the case of the gneva they were constructing is a case where you picked it up in order to steal it, but intending to keep it in the house. And then later you decided to take it outside, so that's why the geneva is independent of the hotza'at. But in such a case, you wouldn't be chayav for Shabbat anyways. Alright, so we say, lo tema amanat latznio, ema amanat lahotzio. Let's do some fine-tuning on this fix. It will say not that you originally picked it up in order to hide it, but rather you picked it up in order to take it out. So, here's what happened. You picked it up in order to take it out, like we originally read, but on the way out, you stopped. In other words, you stopped still, right? And therefore, it created a differentiated moment of leaving. Now, amad lamai, why did you stop? Ila katefu was just to adjust the thing on your back. Or chehu, that's fine, that's called walking. That's not called a new action. They're talking about a case where you stop to rest. Now, this is again on the first parak of Shabbat. If you stop to rest, then that's called the hanacha. Then when you start walking, that's a new akira. So here's what happened. You picked it up in one corner of the house, and it's evidently a heavy item, let's say. And you walked over towards the door, and then you stopped to rest. So far, you haven't done any hotza'ah. You're still in the house. However, you've already chayav for bnei ba'ah because you picked it up and took it. Then you start moving again, that's a new akira, and that takes you outside, and that's Shabbat, and that's why you're chayav, because they're differentiating moments. Okay, aval katefnai, what would happen if you stop just to readjust? The answer is patur. Well, if that's the case, you're not a tani, I'm a garbi, I'll say a garbi, I'll say patur. So if the bright at the very end says, if you're dragging out, you're patur, they should add the following clause. Literally, they should split and teach along with it. Medvar Mamurim, when do we say you chayav or mevafush? If you stop to rest. But if you stop just to adjust it, that's not called a stop. That means it's all one carrying. That means your original picking up was purposes of taking it out, and therefore there's no differentiated moment in your patur because the Geneva and the Shabbat happened simultaneously. But the Braita didn't say that. So it must be that the Braita is not accepting the notion that the case is one where you stop to rest. Alahamani, the answer is that that bright is offered by Ben Azai. Shimon Ben Azai was of the opinion. You see this both in the first and the 11th parakim of Shabbat. That when you're walking, each step is like an independent move, which of course makes it difficult, Allah Zino's paradox, to ever be chayav for carrying dollar amot, because each step is like a new unit, and when you take the next step, that's hanachan, new akira. But that's Ben Azai. So therefore, when you picked it up, you're chayav for geneva. You took a few steps to the door, and then your next step was the one that got your chayav. That's an independent action. So if that's the case, I will zorek my. So what would happen if instead of carrying the keys, you threw the keys? So patur, therefore you should be patur, because there it's all one action. because Rav Ben Azai doesn't hold that every centimeter that something is flying in the air it has a new stop. It's only when you, with your legs, you walk, you take a step. That's a walk, a kiran hanacha, etc. So nifogunim yivididah. So the same question will be asked now on the second answer. If really our Brita is authored by Ben Azai, and the only time where you would say you're chayav is if you're walking, but not if you're throwing, we should add that in. So the answer is megarev yotzei tzrichalei. They needed it to teach the idea of dragging it out. In other words, you're right that zorek would be patur, because really when you picked it up, that's all needed to get it to the outside, and it's all one action. However, they need to mention megarev yotzei. Why salka daitach amina? I might have thought to say in der chotzavachach, but that's not der chotzah at all, and you wouldn't be chayit, because after all, let's say you carry something on your shoulder. Carry something on your head. You're patur because not derech hotzah. Kamash malan, that dragging something out is. Now, where is it all this happening? Uvamai. First of all, where is it? Iberavrave, if we're talking about a big bag, or a chayu. There's nothing new about this. Dragging a huge bag out instead of picking it up, that's the way to carry it. It's too heavy to pick up. Ibezutra, if they're little ones, lavor chayu, it's really not the way to carry. If you have a tiny little bag to drag it out, that's not called carrying. And you shouldn't be chayiv. Elva meets, it must be a middle-sized bag. Something, in other words, that's very heavy, but could be picked up. With the afkel hecha, the next question, where'd you take it to? And think about this. If taking something out of somebody's property, it's nearly impossible to be chayav for geneva and for Shabbat at the same time. And remember, we're now discussing the seif of the Braita, in which we said you're patur, because if you're dragging it out, Shabbat and geneva happen simultaneously. Well, how could that be? If you took it out to the street, so Isha Shabbat, you took it from Rishut Yachid to Rishut Abim, you're Chayav for Shabbat. Isha Gneva Leika, there's no Gneva, because Gneva can only happen when you make a kinyan. Either you picked it up, or when you took it into your own property. If you took it out to Rishut Yachid like your own, Isha Gneva Leika, there's Gneva, Isha Shabbos Leika, there's no Shabbos. There's no Isha Shabbos. So when could you ever have a situation where both Isurim happen and they happen simultaneously, so you'd say Patur? So let's see how the Afka that Sidei Rishut Rabim. Sidei Rishut Rabim is a sugya in the first parak of Shabbat. It's also discussed in Erevin a little bit. And this is a machlok at Rabbalaz and Rabbanon, whether Sidei Rishut Rabim are considered Rishut Rabim. Where did Sidei Rishut Rabim? There are like corners in the Rishut Rabim that are off of the beaten path of where everybody walks, but they are directly connected to that. Alright, so for instance, you might consider a sidewalk Sidei Rishut Rabim. Ulchiman, now who is this following? He, Krabal Azar, Hamad Sidei Rishut Rabim, Kurushut Rabim Dami, he says Sidei Rishut Rabim are part of Rishut Rabim. So then you have the same problem. He's a Shabbat, Ika, he's a Gneva Leika. There's Shabbat, no Gneva, because there's no Gneva in Rishut Rabim. So Ika Rabbanan, if it's Rabbanan who disagree with Krabal Azar, Rabbi Sidei Rishut Rabim, Lav Kurushut Rabim Dambu, who say that Sidei Rishut Rabim are not Rishut Rabim, they're independent, they're carnally. So Isur Gneva Ika, Isur Shabbos Leika. So you have Gneva because it's private, but there's no Shabbat. So the answer they give is the Olam, Krav Eliezer, follows of Eliezer. Yamar Belezer, Sidei Rishut Rabim, Krishut Rabim, Dan Mihanim, Nichiv, and Shabbat. Belezer did not say that Sidei Rishut Rabim are Krishut Rabim for every purpose. They are Rishut Rabim for Shabbat. Why? The Zimni, the Dachi Rabim, Vayelahatam. Sometimes the streets too crowded, and then they spill over to Sidei Rishut Rabim. As far as Kenyan goes, Kani, it's private enough that you can make a Kenyan there. My time up. Because more normally there aren't a lot of people there. So in other words, Rabbi Eliezer could consider the same location to be a Rishut Rabim in one area of Halacha and Rishut Yachid in another area of Halacha. And therefore, as far as Shabbat goes, it's Rishut Rabim, and therefore you're Chayav for carrying the thing out. And as far as Gneva goes, it's Rishut Yachid, and therefore you're chayav for geneva. And that's why you'd be patur if you dragged it out. Again, it has to be talking about dragging out a mid-size or a large-size bag, the kind where it would be a normal way of carrying. Ravashi has a different explanation. What happened is, we're talking about regular shrabim, but you put your hand below three tfachim from the ground, and you took it. Famous sugya at the beginning of Sechet Shabbat. The person's hand has a din of arba al arba. It's a makom chashuv, and you're chayav for carrying. And therefore, if you put your hand low, and we're talking about megarer, he's saying that he took it out to Rishit Rabim, but his hand is not right on the ground, his hand is in the air, and so therefore he's being konet in his yad. Alright. Rav Acha matni achi. That's the, everything that we just saw was how Rav Acha learned it. Ravina matni. Ravina gave a different answer. The olam davka Rishit Rabim. Rishit Rabim nami kana. He said, it's not a problem. You took it out for Rishit Echid Rishit Rabim. You're chayav for Shabbat. You're also chayav for Gneva. Why? Because you can be konet Gneva Rishit Rabim. I go and take something out of your house. I put Rishit Rabim. I'm konet. I'm chayav as a ganav. I'm chayav kefal, etc., etc. All of the things that come along with it. Now, where is this machloket, Rabbi Avina Rabbi Acha and Ravina? It's based on looking at a particular mishnah. Tavai v'diyukah v'hamat nitin kavei pagid. Nan hayam oshchol yosei umei Rishit Rabim patur. If you were carrying a Geneva out and it died, this animal, you're pulling an animal out, and it died while still in the domain of the people he's stealing it from, your patur. He could be whole, but if you picked it up, or shotzir v'shut ba'alim v'meit, if you took it out of their domain and it died, then chayav. Now, Ravina diak mireisha. Ravina looked at the reisha. What does the reisha say? Racha diak mireisha. If you were dragging it out on the way out and it died birshut baalim in the domain of the original owners, then patur. So tava demet birshut baalim. It's only because it's still birshut baalim. Ha hotzir birshut baalim v'meit. The minute you take it out of there and it dies, you're chayav. In other words, once you take it out of the property of the person who owns it, you're chayav, including birshut rabim. Racha di misefer racha. Learned the sefer very carefully. If you picked it up or you took it out. Now, what are those two juxtaposed? Why are they juxtaposed? Just carrying it out is like picking it up. Something that comes into your reshut. You picked it up. That's bringing it into your reshut. Similarly, hotzah has to be something that comes into your reshut. Derek and reshut is not good enough. Now, avacha kasha resha. So each one of them has difficulty with the other half of the Mishnah. Avacha has a difficulty with the reisha that says that as long as it's a reshut baalim, you're patur, meaning anywhere else you're chayav. Mina kasha seifa. So reisha lo avacha lo kasha. How will avacha answer? Kamar lo atin reshut teik reshut baalim karina bay. Very simply, as long as it's not in your house, in your property, it's considered reshut baalim. Seifa lo avina lo kasha. And avina answer the seifa very simply. We don't make a big deal about the juxtaposition of hotza'ah. And Hagbah saying that just like Hagbah is into Rishut, Otzah is in Rishut, he doesn't buy the juxtaposition. And so therefore we've clarified the different positions. We are going to pick up in the next podcast on a different wrinkle about the issue of of Knas, beginning with Haba Alachoto. Everybody should have a wonderful day and a Chag Sameach.